I just want to talk to you this morning about something the Lord put on my heart, and I think it has a lot to do with where the Lord is going to take us over the next months and weeks. But, you know, there's a lot going on in our world right now, a lot going on in our nation, and with a lot of challenges. And just as a pastor, you know, trying to pastor and love people and wade our way through it all, you know, you find yourself feeling a little overwhelmed sometimes and seeking direction and the counsel of the Lord. And this week I was praying about, Lord, what do we preach to this generation? What do we preach in this day in which we live? What do I say? What do we do? You know, what can we do that can make a difference and have some effect on these things we're talking about? And just seeking the Lord to show me. And I just had a profound experience with the Lord in my office. I was here at the church, and I just broke down and started weeping. I just felt the presence of God real strong. And it was just a powerful, powerful moment. And because what I heard the Lord speak to my heart was, in the middle of that, was he said, Glenn, just preach Jesus. Just preach Jesus. Just don't get complicated with it. Just preach Jesus. And that sounds simple, I know. You know, you can hear that and go, well, of course. But it's very profound. And I think sometimes we get lost. You know, there's so many different rivers we can go down and channels and so many rabbits we can chase, and there's a lot of different things. And I think sometimes we forget about just preaching Christ and Him crucified. And Paul said, that's my message. And that should be our message. And as I began to, it moved me so much. I just kept hearing those words, just preach Jesus. And I thought, Lord, that is so right. That has always been my heart. And I know there's times I've probably strayed from it and got off on this tangent or that tangent. But everything we preach, and I'm not saying we shouldn't preach the whole counsel of God. We certainly should. But everything we preach should take us to Jesus. Everything should point to Jesus. Everything should get us to Jesus. Amen? And so that really ministered. In fact, I was so kind of tore up about it. Adam had walked into the office to tell me something, and when he walked in, I looked up at him. I had tears streaming down my cheeks, and, you know, I looked like I was just distraught and distressed. And he said, are you okay? Is everything okay? I said, I'm fine. I'm having a God moment right now. And I don't know if you, maybe it's one of those you had to be there kind of things. I don't know. But just hearing those words, just preach Jesus and get back to the message of Christ, because I believe that's what the Lord wants us as a church to do. Folks, there's a lot of problems out there, and there's a lot of needs. And you wonder, what do I tell people? What do we say? Just tell them about Jesus. Just tell them, look, man, I don't know. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your stuff is. And you know what? I don't care. I'm not going to judge you where you're at, and but what I want you to know is that Jesus loves you and that Jesus is the answer for everything you're going through. Jesus was the answer for me. Jesus was the answer for me. And I know what he did for me, and I know what he's done for others, and I know what he can do for you. And he won't judge you. He'll just love you. He won't condemn you. His arms are open, and he wants to embrace you, and you just need to come to him. And that's what people need to do. People just need to come to, they don't need to come to me. They just need to come to Jesus. Amen? And that we need to point people to Christ. We need to point people to Jesus and start becoming more Jesus-focused in what we do and what we say. The Lord reminded me of a time when I was 17 and the Lord called me into the ministry. And I've shared stories with you about how God would do things to kind of bring me back to where I needed to be. But there was a time when I was 17 and I was so on fire for God and so passionately in love with Jesus, you know? And I remember that season in my life, And I just had so much, I had so much zeal. I didn't have a lot of wisdom. There was a lot I needed to learn. And there was a lot of areas I needed to grow in. And we all need to always grow, right? We're always learning. But I had that zeal and I had that fire and I had that passion. And it was just so strong. And I was thinking about that this week. And I was thinking, Lord, I want you to renew that in my life. I want to return to my first love. You know, remember Paul talking to how many of you remember your first love? I'm talking about it with Jesus. Remember when you first fell in? Remember how you were? Remember how crazy in love you were with Jesus? Remember how you just you were consumed with him? You were just on fire for God. You just, you know, and remember how that was? And I think the Lord wants us to get back to that, right? The Lord wants us to get back to that first love, that first fire, that first zeal, that first passion, where you just feel that fire for God, you know, because sometimes we just get caught up in the routines of our Christianity and our Christian life. I had a good friend come to me one day. He said, I want you to ride with me today. And he took me with him, and I've told y'all this story, I think, but he took me with him, and he was kind of quiet, and we were riding down the road, and finally he just said it. He just blurted it out. He said, I've just been praying that God would light a fire under your rear end. And I was like, what? And he said, that's right, I've just been praying God would light a fire under you. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, when I first met you, you preached with a fire and a zeal and the passion and the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, there was just a fire there. There was zeal and there was passion. And he said, I don't see that same passion that I used to see. And this has been years and years and years ago. And at first, I could feel myself getting real defensive, you know. I could feel myself bowing up and like, what are you talking about? I love the Lord just as much as I ever did, but it began to get in my spirit, and I began to realize he was right, that I had just kind of settled in. Guys, sometimes we get settled into our Christian relationship with our relationship with Christ, and we need to get back to that. Is any of this making sense to anybody? And I just feel God calling us back to that place where we just fall in love with Jesus again. And start telling people about Jesus. I just want to tell you about Jesus. You know, it's just because he's the answer. And it becomes about Jesus. It becomes about Jesus and Christ and him crucified. I will glory in the cross. And folks, I'm convinced that if we get people to Jesus and we get them to the cross, he'll take care of the rest. You know, because the cross is the answer. Just get them to the cross. And just love them to the cross. Just love them there. I couldn't help but remember the story I told y'all about Rosaria Butterfield and how she was just led to the cross and she was just led to Jesus and she started reading her Bible and she just fell in love with Jesus. And it was falling in love with Jesus that eventually changed her life. And so that's where I believe God is calling to. The Lord spoke that to my heart, and it got me to digging and reading and thinking, and you know, and the Lord led me to a verse, and he showed me something in it that I had never seen before, and I want to share it with you. Matthew chapter 17. I'm not going to be long. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm not planning on it. We'll say it that way. I'm not planning on it, but the Lord might have something different. But I just want to share this with you, and that's all I want to do. I just want to share what the Lord showed me. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration, and that's what I want to. That's what I want to show you. Matthew chapter 17, and verse 1, and hopefully, by the way, starting next week, we'll start getting our. Oh, we got it up there. Okay. All right. They're ahead of me. So 17 verse 1 says, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother. That's John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured, transformed before them, and his face shone like the sun. And what was happening here, everything that was in Jesus started coming out of him. His glory started coming out of him. They were witnessing more than just, they knew him as the man. They knew him as the, you know, the man, the Son of God made flesh. But they were now witnessing a part of him they'd never seen before. All the glory of God that started pouring out of him, and his face was shining like the sun. His clothes became white, like light. And light, the light that was within him, he is the light of the world, that light was radiating out of him. I mean, that's just glory. The glory of God was just pouring out of him. And then it says, behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with him. Wow. I mean, Jesus is glowing with his glory, and suddenly Moses is standing on one side and Elijah is standing on the other side. I mean, this is incredible. This is a visitation from glory. This is a visitation from heaven. It's awesome. And then Peter answered and said to Jesus, and this is the greatest understatement of all time, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Amen. You think? I mean, what an understatement. But I want to show you something about that. Lord, it's good for us to be here. Then look at what else he said. If you wish, let us make here three altars. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And that leapt out at me. I never paid attention to that until this week when the Lord brought me to this. They were so caught up in this moment that they wanted to build glorious altars to Moses, to Elijah, and to Jesus. And I thought, Lord, that's what we do. That's what we do. We build altars to men. We build altars to pastors. We build altars to evangelists. We build altars to authors. We build altars to celebrities. We get so caught up in people and this and that that we want to edify and glorify, and we put things up there close to where God's at. Amen. We put things up there and we get them lifted up, and we worship them, and we bow to them, and we follow them, and Peter, let's build these three altars. And the Lord just really spoke that to me. And then I saw this. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And what I saw was, while they were speaking and saying, let's build these altars, God interrupted them. It said, while they were still speaking, he wasn't through. Whatever else he was going to say about all of that, God interrupted them. God got involved in it. And I want you to look real close at what he said. And this is where the Lord really got me. While he was still speaking, God interrupted a loud voice and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the word that struck out at me was, this is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son. I didn't call you up here to worship Moses. And I didn't call you up here to worship Elijah. And I didn't call you up here to build altars and build tabernacles. I called you up. This is my Son. Amen. Amen. And when I saw that, I never saw that this like that before. This was like God was, it was pointing to Jesus. And then it goes on to say, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. I mean, God really got their attention here. Just before that, they were all happy and it's good, you know. But God shook them up. And they fell on their face and were afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, don't be afraid. And here's what And this, verse 8. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus. All they could see was Jesus. And you could say, well, Moses and Elijah had gone. Maybe. And all that was left was Jesus, and that could be. But it could also be that they were still standing there, but all they could see was Jesus. But at any rate, that's what God wanted them to see. Folks, that's all I want to see. All I want to see is Jesus. We've seen everything else, and there's this world has nothing. There's nothing. That all we want to see is Jesus. That's all I want to see. Let's suppose that all they saw was Moses. They see the glory of Moses coming off the mountain. They see the glory of Moses on Sinai. They see the thunder and lightning and the rainbow of God's glory and God's presence. And they see the thunder of Sinai and the tablets of stone and the law and the code of conduct and God's rules. And if all they saw was Moses, all they saw was law, all they saw was rules, all they saw was Sinai. All they saw was the thunderous voice of God. All they saw, that's all they saw. There's no salvation there. There's nothing there to save you. There's nothing there to help you. It's all empty. And you're looking at a man that you're following, all we see is Moses, but Moses was going to fall on his face. Moses couldn't get you to the promised land. Moses wasn't the answer. Or all we see is Elijah. Oh, we have the thunderous voice of the prophet calling fire down like the disciples wanted Jesus to do. Going to burn everybody up, going to call fire down, going to speak the condemnation and be the big fiery prophet. That's overwhelming and it's awesome and it's all and all of that. But there's nothing there to save me. There's nothing in Elijah's word. There's nothing there to redeem me. There's nothing that Elijah brings that can wash away my sins and take everything. Nothing. If all I see is Elijah, I'm left empty. And then if I hitch my wagon to Elijah, not too much longer after this, he's sitting under a juniper tree wanting to die. That he's give up. And there's nothing there to help me. But then I'm left with Jesus. Oh, I hope y'all see this the way I'm seeing it. It's like it's just Jesus. But Jesus, all we're left with is Jesus. But Jesus is the answer for everything. Amen? Jesus is the answer for everything. And I want to tell people, if you're sick, you need to come to Jesus. Because he's a healer. If you're hurting and wounded, lonely, you need to come to Jesus. He's like an elder brother. He will love you and he will get you through it and he will wrap you up. If you're depressed, filled with fear, you need to come to Jesus. If you're lost and in your sins, you need to come to Jesus. Jesus is the answer for everything. And I just have a passion this morning to tell people I'm in love with Jesus. And I want to tell you I'm in love with Jesus. And I want you to be in love with Jesus. I want you to fall in love with him all over again. Amen? Like you do it, trying it for the first time. It's just, you know, you just got that zeal. And you know, wisdom is good. And we need to grow. We need to learn. But sometimes we grow. I know I've heard people say, You know, we'd see somebody come into church that just got saved and they just got fired up and they want to do this and they want to do that. Brother Glenn, maybe we ought to start this and we ought to do that. And they just, you know, they just got so much fire in them and so much zeal in them, you know. And I've heard people say, oh, they'll settle down after a while. They'll get over all that. They'll be like the rest of us. And unfortunately, that often happens. And then we just get like everybody else. Folks, what do you say we resist that? And that we keep the fire of God and the zeal and fire of the Holy Spirit burning within us like a bright light? And if you're sitting there and you would be honest this morning, are you as close to God and on fire for God and have the zeal for God like as you've ever had in your life? Or have there been times when it was burning brighter? And if you can honestly say, you know, there have been times when it was stronger and it was brighter, and I was passionately in love with Jesus, and I don't have that first love like I used to have, God wants to touch you today, because He's already got all over me. I've been since Wednesday. I had trouble teaching Wednesday night because this happened Wednesday, and I couldn't hardly teach Wednesday night because I was with all this was going on in me. I wanted to come in here Wednesday night and talk about it. It's just, Lord, help me here. Melanie, would you come to the keyboard? Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have decided that in the years that I have left to preach Jesus passionately with all my heart, I want to go out preaching Jesus. And I want to preach with fire, and I want to preach with zeal. I want to see people filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to see people filled with the gifts of the Spirit. I want to see people brought closer to God than they've ever been. And I know that that's because Jesus is the one that baptizes with fire. He's the one that he's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the answer. And I just want to get you to Jesus. Just get to Jesus. If Jesus was physically standing up here this morning, there I couldn't keep y'all. Wild horses wouldn't keep y'all away from him. You'd knock me down getting to him. But the Bible says he's here. Oh, he's here. The poet said, only to sit and think of God. Oh, what a joy it is to think the thought, to breathe the name. Earth has no higher bliss. Father, of Jesus' love's reward, what rapture it will be when prostrate before thy throne I lie and gaze on thee.